One of the things I think about a lot, this whole dance between having a fulfilling life, saving and investing enough money, and maybe being removed from having to generate any money yourself. And it is a constant dance because we have to generate an income to live at the moment, most of us, but we have to look out for our future and we have to do the best thing that we can for tomorrow's version of us. Now, it is hard to live in this life at the moment, particularly like if you're living in Sydney, Melbourne, Perth even is getting wild, Brisbane's up there. It costs a lot of money to wake up of a morning and it's really annoying. But what I want to talk about today is this whole FIRE thing. We've talked about it before on the show. If you're new to this podcast or the money world, you'd be forgiven if you do not know what FIRE is. Well, it is F-I-R-E, Financial Independence, Retire Early. That's got to be a goal, doesn't it? To have financial independence and retire early. But do all your hopes and dreams come to life following a FIRE strategy? Well, we're going to talk about it today. And by we, I mean me. It's just me today. Because I've been thinking about this so much myself, I've got a lot of comments. I've got a lot of thoughts. I've got a lot of flashpoints that you might be able to use to think about for your own life. And we'll get into some trouble, no doubt, along the way. This episode is brought to you by Sphere Home Loans. You know, mortgage brokers, they're the best to work with because they structure your mortgage or multiple mortgages in a way that is in your best interests, not the actual banks. So really, it does align with you and your needs. If you are looking at getting your first property, well, a good mortgage broker like Sphere Home Loans, they'll talk to you about your future goals for the property. Maybe there needs to be a mortgage structure that needs to be set up so it does align with your future goals. And particularly if you've got a couple of properties, they certainly will not cross the loans, and that's cross securitization. So link both properties to the one loan. So it's a big giant mess if you need to unpick it and property prices have changed and all that stuff. Where most banks, when you walk into, they would do that because it's easier and faster. Anyway, I digress, but a good mortgage broker like Sphere Home Loans will structure things to meet your needs right now and potentially into the future. Just search Sphere Home Loans or click the link in the show notes and they'll be able to help you wherever you are in Australia. Remember, you don't need a mortgage broker in the same city as you, or you don't need a mortgage broker in the same town or city where you're buying. All this crap's online, make use of it today. My name's Glenn James. I'm about to piss a whole heap of people off and this is Money.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So I did end that little intro by saying I will piss a lot of people off. And I think what I want to start with is a bit of a preface to everything that I'm talking about in the episode today. Now, if you're a FIRE zealot, you know, you live and breathe FIRE, you're in all the Facebook groups, you listen to all the FIRE podcasts, you're living, you're breathing it, you've got a high status, or what do they call it on Reddit, when you've got lots of points, I don't know, whatever, like, you know who you are, like, you're into this stuff, you live and breathe FIRE. Well, I'm going to make some FIRE come out of your ears very soon, but all that to say is, I will likely offend you in this episode, and the reason I say that is, I've learned that if I want to pick a fight online, make comments or use assumptions that don't reflect the hardcore zealots or the FIRE or the whole FIRE vibe, all right? So you've got to remember the number one rule is nuance is the first casualty in the comments section of any Facebook group, of any podcast. You've just got to remember that. But you need to know your own numbers. I'll never be able to do the exact numbers for you based on your own assumptions that I don't know. So I'll be talking pretty broad brush strokes. My name is Glenn James and I'm this cat that's talking at the moment. So you are going to get my view and opinion. And a lot of times, and this is still part of my preface, everyone, like a lot of the times people get so outraged, like, well, how can you say that? Or how do you think that way? Well, the problem is this bag of chemicals with a ghost in it called Glenn James, I can only speak to my own experience. I can only speak to my own view. I can only speak to my own goals. Now, I've seen a lot of other people's financial goals before. I've worked with hundreds of people to help them get out of debt, start investing for the future, start a business, really start to live life on their own terms. Like, I've really helped a lot of people, but when it comes to this type of content, it can be so triggering for those who are hardcore card-carrying FIRE members. Now, that means if you are that type of person and you are listening to this, you may be listening to this more so to see if I trip up, if you can get a gotcha comment or moment out of me, or to pick shreds out of, you know, any of my comments or assumptions. So I do get that, but I'm just saying don't heaps waste your time listening if you think you've got your financial situation covered, because I really can't help you. And a lot of the times with these podcasting stuff, we've got our core audience of people who are active in our Facebook groups, who listen to podcasts and all that. And we do this podcast for our core community and our core listeners. Now, everyone's welcome to jump in and have a listen, but just, yeah, calm your farm a little bit if you've just dropped in today, because it might not reflect you or where you're at. Now, I will say, just so you know, the average listener to my podcast here has a profile like this. Well, I'll talk about the broad profile. 70% of listeners are women. The median income is 100K. So we'll say 100K plus super, you know, call it 110, 120 package, you know, in around that type of vibe. The median age of listeners of this podcast is 32 years old, okay? So that's who I'm talking to. That person's a full-time employee, mostly living in a capital city. So because that's the lion's share of the listeners and the type of profile that I'm talking to I have to have that really front of mind. So I just want you to remember this. I don't represent anyone or anything. I'm giving my comments to you, our core listeners, our main listeners, and you may not learn anything if you're heaps into the FIRE movement. So yeah, maybe just save your time and I wouldn't bother listening. But I mean, you're welcome to, but just, I don't know. I just have to say this stuff because people get so outraged about stuff. It's like, who cares? I do this my way. You do it your way. I want any listener of mine in this podcast, I want you to prove me wrong. Always. Because I'm not your guru. I'm just facilitating conversation. Now, my goal with this stuff is to make you really think about your life, your future, your work, your family, your goals. Oh yeah, I will make you think about that stuff. I'll maybe get your little brain ticking along and you might have to listen to this twice because I'm going to say some stuff that might rock your world that you haven't heard before. Okay, so that's all I want to say. And the reason I just want to do this and say this preface is because I know by doing this episode, it will likely be shared in FIRE circles. So just saying hi to everyone if you're, you know, hardcore into FIRE. And finally, on the preface, you know, I am doing a little case study of some broad assumptions later on in the episode. The more I was kind of doing these assumptions just to get some type of straw man to throw up against the wall to look at and to talk about, it just reminded me when I was a financial advisor, I would rarely ever do financial projections over a 5-year period because there are so many things that can change. The purpose when I was working with clients and even in my own life is let's just get a direction where we need to head. Like, there's no point saying, well, in 10 years, we're going to stop work for a year and go overseas. Well, that's awesome. But guess what? A lot can happen in 1 year, let alone over the next 10. So it's really good to get a vision and a guide. And then all of this kind of stuff that we're talking about, it does fall on what type of personality you are, okay? I'm in the FIRE Facebook groups. I listen to different money and FIRE content. I like money like the rest of you guys, all right? I love it. I'm not going to trip over $10 in the street and, you know, keep walking. I'm going to pick it up. So all that to say, my personality isn't one that needs to optimize every single line item of my life and do all that. I love living. I love experiences. I love my boat, okay? I'm not one to want to sacrifice parts of my lifestyle to amass wealth so later on I can then live a bit better without the pressure of having to go to work, without the pressure of having to make an income. Okay, so already we're into the nuanced corner of this and I haven't even started, right? I really haven't started. So that's my preface for the episode right there. If you're a card-carrying FIRE member, probably going to really grate you the wrong way. I still love you, but we've just got different personalities. We've got different money goals and we've got different lifestyles. I could never live in a tiny house on a block of land in the middle of nowhere. There are people that are listening to this podcast that can, that will, and that do. I've interviewed people on this show before. That's not me. If it is you, I want you to lean into that. Whatever your shtick is with your life, lean into it or go away. Same thing. Like I could say, oh, I really want to buy that $2,000 day bed, but you know, we're not doing a big annual holiday this year because we really want that day bed. Hey, if that's your shtick, lean into it. Buy the bloody day bed. I don't care, but can you just step back and have a look at different stuff? Anyway, gosh, what a train wreck already. If you're new, I'm really sorry, but also here we are. Okay, my own view. I need to do something, quote unquote. So I work. Now, my current work is set up in a way where I've got pretty good autonomy. I've got a really great income. My personality, again, because this goes back to your personality, my personality isn't one that can sit around all day. I mean, I get bored. Last year I was in Bali for, I think, almost 2 weeks. I was bored sitting around the pool all day. There's only so much I can do sitting around and relaxing, and I have to do something. I need a bit of purpose. So my own view is you can actually have a fulfilled life and still work and not need to escape from it. You know, I've only met one person who's actually literally hardcore fired and all that. And by age 30, they literally, and this was in the States, they ski, they volunteer. And then I met two other people, Amy, she's been on the show before. I met them when I was in Bali. I got my scooter and scooted up to Ubud and had coffee and lunch with them. And, you know, I think it was Matt, Amy's husband, could be wrong for forgetting his name. But it was very interesting. Matt was, I'm like, what do you do today? Oh, well, I wake up and I do this and do that. Like he literally floats around, which is awesome. And I think he was knocking maybe on 50's door, where Amy, she's fired, quote unquote, and he had fired as well. And she's doing these FIRE retreats. So again, she is starting to do some more work and all that because it's this whole purpose thing, right? So I've kind of resolved that these types of people that are the card-carrying FIRE members, I'm not cut from that cloth and that's totally okay. On the people that I've met, and you know, that means I've really only met 3 or 4 actual FIRE people in the real world actually living this, because it's the whole thing to say, oh, this is a FIRE group on Facebook and we're all FIRE, but sure, there's probably 5% of those members in there, or 10 if I'm generous, that are actually quote-unquote FIRE-ing. The rest is an aspiration thing, which is, we can get into that. That's awesome. We need aspiration. But yeah, I've only really met a handful of people who have actually FIRE-ed, and 50% of those, if I'm just thinking of the 4 or 5 people, yeah, I reckon 2 or 3 of them actually have gone back and worked and done stuff. Now, I will say I need an output and I need a purpose. I don't want to waste this energy. I just honestly think as a society thing, for me, it would be a little self-indulgent to, and to be honest, like if I stopped working, like I'm probably fired now, to be honest, like I've done well enough financially. You know, if I stop doing my thing, and this is again my personal view, when we look at society and the value, I think it's a little bit self-indulgent for me to not do anything productive to society. Where again, like that guy I met in America, he was volunteering a few days a week, which is so awesome. But yeah, this whole living on a, you know, escaping for work so I can live on a beach and not have to work, it's the ultimate dream and aspiration. But you just got to look. The most famous wealthy people in the world, they don't need to work. Like Taylor Swift has got more money than God and she's going around working her ass off still. Like money left the chat years and years ago. But it's that purpose. It's that thing. It's what you do. So you need to work out what your thing is. What do you do? My thing happens to be talking on microphones and pissing thousands of people off most weeks. So what's your thing? What's your output? What's your purpose? It's interesting. And I think fire is, it's really hard work for most people most of the time. Is it possible? Absolutely. Is getting a big pile of money before you're 40, before you're 50, before you're 30, a big pile of money accrued and invested and it's had growth and all that. Is it possible for you to be completely untethered from the 9-to-5 trading time for income? Absolutely, it's possible. I've seen them. You've seen them. I've met them. They live among us, people. But for most people, most of the time, it's mostly not possible. And we'll get into the reasons why. Back to this whole fire thing, I really think the fire movement now is so fractured. It's kind of like how the church went through the Reformation and now we've got all these different denominations. Like we had the Protestants and the Catholics because we couldn't agree on a thing. And now we've got all the different people groups of this one religion. So if we talk about Catholicism, Christianity, Roman Catholic, then we've had the split. Now we've got, you know, a different variety and different brands of Jesus all over the world. There's a common purpose that, yeah, we love Jesus, but we the outworking of that is now in this way for whatever reason. So it's kind of, I think, like this fire movement thing where there was that one perfect goal or the one law. Earn a shat ton of money, invest it early, stop working, live off the dividends. Awesome. So that's really good for you, bro or sis. You're working in a heavy tech sales, high income role. You're 30 years old. You're earning 500 grand a year. You're investing 400 a year or 300 or half of it. And then you can stop working in a few years. Like that's all well and good. But I can't meet that definition. So I'm going to do this brand of fire. And that's kind of led to this fracturing of the idea. And, you know, it sounds really good. The pursuit of being so financially independent from work, I can retire whenever I want. That's very pure. The same thing. I don't know much about Catholicism and, you know, back in the Reformation ages and all that. It's like, well, we've got this law of Christ and all these laws, and it's like, well, no, that's crap. We're going this way. Like, so we've had this split. So there's basically now in the fire community a handful of types of fire. So I'm going to read out this list here. I'm just reading from a blog online on a website called Bankrate. Lean fire. If you're planning to have the lower than average expenses in retirement, you may wish to consider lean fire. This approach is typically for minimalists who can live off a lot less money than others and who want to plan to do something in the future. While you may be able to get to your savings goal faster via lean fire, You likely won't have much room for spending beyond strict necessities. Ugh, doesn't sound like fun. We've got one called Coast Fire. Savers who implement the Coast Fire approach aren't necessarily trying to retire early. Okay, so it's not heaps retire early, it's just fire. They focus on saving, investing enough money that eventually they can stop making contributions but still watch their money grow. In other words, they'll be able to coast into retirement. I think most people are coast firing, really, aren't they? Oh, here we go. Fat fire. And this is where your power is, like, if you are the card-carrying member of the FIRE community, this is where I just laugh because this is just so dumb and comical, but still love you. Fat fire. If you're hoping for lavish vacations, lots of eating out and shopping in retirement, fat fire may be the method for you. It requires savings and investing aggressively so you don't have to limit your spending in retirement. Understandably, it's one of the more challenging approaches to gaining financial freedom since you're aiming for a high annual expenditure in retirement. Okay, this is another fun one, Barista Fire. The FIRE movement doesn't require earning six figures, and it doesn't have to mean saving for a total retirement. Instead, some people use the Barista Fire approach to save now so they can work part-time or more relaxed job in their later life. They may want to replace their traditional 9-to-5 gig for a few hours a week as a barista, for example, hence the name. Now, there is another one or two that are not on that list. The next one is Meerkat Fire. Now, this is an interesting one, Meerkat Fire. So, meerkats, they kind of have a good work-life balance. Meerkat Fire is for those who might want to forage around during the day and then rest or, you know, holiday. And so Meerkat Fire, it really is a great balance between a bit of working during the day and then maybe some sunbathing or, you know, cleaning and just living. So it is that balance between I'll work when I want to work and I'll chill and relax when I want to chill. I might stick my head up like a meerkat, have a look around, what's going on. Yeah, I want to go that direction, we'll do that. Or no, get back to foraging around and relaxing. All right, we'll do that. Meerkat Fire, it is one that resonates with a lot of people. Now, there is also one called Flamingo Fire. So Flamingo Fire combines three different retirement lifestyles, semi-retirement, early retirement, and traditional retirement. There is also one called Forklift Fire, where you basically, you've got your little forklift just cruising around, doing what you want, you know, and the premise is, you know, you put the fork in the thing, lift it up, and that's kind of like the sign for work. And then when you have done the lift and the load of the forklift, that's considered the work part. And then when you reverse or whatever and drive away, and that's the cruising type. So again, this whole Meerkat Fire, Forklift Fire, Flamingo Fire, Coast Fire, Fat Fire, I think they were all kind of terms invented because it was not possible to actually amass enough wealth. Back to the whole, well, I can't do the main original fire. So I think my own view of this fire thing, it's, for me, I reckon the whole movement is more about belonging to an idea, belonging to, because we are humans and we like to resonate with different things. It is about I identify with Meerkat Fire or I resonate with Barista Fire. That's the kind of lifestyle I want. And when you really look at it, this whole Barista Fire, let me just go back. It doesn't mean saving for total retirement. It's just working part-time. Yeah, they call that working part-time, not Barista Fire. It's actually just called not doing traditional things and working part-time. And it's just so far removed from it. And that's why it just gets comical. And I think it is that whole, well, we want to be in this community. We want to aspire for this thing, but we can't do it. So we're just going to put this sub-label on it so we can still be involved, which is cool. I think it's great to have a true north in your life for either where you want to go financially, the types of people you want to hang around. And I know the FIRE group, you guys, you know, there's always little meetups, you know, random little meetups online and everyone goes and talks about all their different types of FIRE and all that stuff. But I think the whole premise really is around the financial independence as opposed to the retire early part. Now, if you've read my book, Sort Your Money Out and Get Invested, I talk about my version of quote unquote fire, and I call that loot. Because when I look at all these things, right, when I look at people who achieve fire, they've worked really hard, been really intentional with their investing for the future, with keeping the expenses low, maybe minimal, like they've just been doing this. So when they get to that line, okay, now I can fire and I've reached my fire number. Now I can do things that I've wanted to do for the last 15 years or the last 10 years. So my premise of loot is life on own terms. That's what it stands for. Again, same as fire, just needed some type of title, connect the philosophy to some type of purpose or vision. I don't know. So my premise is, well, don't save, scringe and invest and stay at a job you hate for the next 15 years while you're amassing wealth. Then go, okay, I'm here now. I'm going to start my side hustle, or I'm going to start to do the caravanning and work 3 days a week, or I'm going to start to do that. My premise is stop. Why don't you just do that now? Interesting. But some people, goes back to the personality, people want to have some type of financial target to work towards. That's awesome. My whole thing is, don't put up with a crap job and a crap life. You might be on good money and you're saving heaps. Then down the track, we can run from that and then do what we want to do. I'm saying live your life on your own terms today. Loot. That's what I'm all about. So I think my kind of end bullet point on this whole thing is, like, once you have all the free time in the world when you're retired, you'd want to make sure that you have something that doesn't involve spending money because, like, there was those two types of fire. It was like we live good now and then not have money in retirement, or we live without much money now and then have lots of money in retirement. Well, I'm just like, well, just live now with a average it out, a medium amount of money in your life. And the whole thing is, when you get to retirement, if you are doing this thing and you want to amass money so you can then quote unquote retire, God, you want to make sure that you got something to do that doesn't require money to travel internationally or and do all that stuff, because you're going to run out of money pretty fast. But the biggest thing that I've learned about this whole retirement thing by looking at different people who have, and even those, and I'll, at the end of the episode, I'll talk about this more, those over 60 that are changing to a retirement, is that one of the biggest fears is this: they don't know if they've got a sense of purpose and they might get bored when they retire. And that goes back to the Taylor Swift thing. She's got all the money in the world. She can buy all the commercial real estate, all the equities, all the residential real estate in the world, and sit in her penthouse and have money walking the door every day. You get bored pretty fast. Most people do, remember? Most of the time, for most people, fire doesn't work. It's the inverse is the same with if you had all the money in the world, most people most of the time need something to do, need a type of purpose and activity during the day. Because most people, including me, can't sit around reading all day. They need the social interaction. They need to have output into society and into the community. So I just honestly want to maintain my type of lifestyle. At the top where I talked about my boat, I would like to say I'm a conscious value spender. I'm not a quote unquote heaps frugal person, because I just spend money on what I value. And, you know, I do my own work, my own business, spend money on what I value. Life's pretty good. I don't need to be heavily having this target of, oh, I need to save $3 million in 10 minutes so I can stop and not do anything. So what do? My financial plan is really simple. It's a 3-point plan. I'm a generous giver. I live on less than what I earn, and I just pump investments. That's all, with my bedrock being my career, which I'm happy with, my lifestyle, which I'm happy with, and my income, which I can live with. And I'm probably, and I've got nothing to do with fire, but I probably invest maybe 50% of my earnings a year. I don't even know, because I'm not worried about that. All I know is be a generous giver, live on less than I earn, and invest the rest. It's pretty simple. So I'm going to now take a break. And when I come back, I'm going to ask you some questions. We're going to talk about you, your goals. We're going to look at some numbers. So I'll be right back in a moment.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com. Click Get Help and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click Get Help.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, we are back and we are getting into the community segment of the week just in a moment, brought to you by Sky Wealth. Hey, on all this retire early stuff and all this financial modelling that we'll get into, it's on the premise that in 20 years I need $1 million saved. It's on the premise that you've got the money to save. Now, if you are working away and you had an accident or you got sick and you had to stop working and you didn't have income insurance, guess what? You're screwed. You're not going to achieve your goals. It's about protecting the downside, and you can do that with income protection. And if you've got a family, dependents and debt, you need to make sure you've got death cover. Thank you to Sky Wealth for supporting the community segment of the week. You can go to skye.com.au and reach out and have a chat about how they can help you. We asked the Facebook group, when you were in primary school and had money to spend, what was on top of your list? And some of these are a little bit funny. Brooke said, straight to Sanity for CDs. Whoop, whoop. Now, if you're under, 25, probably, I'd almost say 30 at this stage. They're called compact discs. Stephanie, I found a $50 note in the ocean when I was a kid and honestly felt like I'd won the lotto. Imagine my disappointment when I realized you could buy two CDs at Sanity with $50. I remember one of the ones I bought was Princess Diaries soundtrack. Was the Princess Diaries soundtrack iconic? The other was probably S Club 7. Katie said food at the canteen or computer games. Aaron said chips from the local fish and chip store. So yummy. Christy said in year three, I had $3 in my pocket and a muesli bar and remember thinking I had everything I needed to run away. Strawberry milk and chips for the Pokemon cards. Tanya said, new underwear. We were so poor. It was the only thing we purchased new once a year. Everything else was from the secondhand shop. And Jay Sini said, I was buying houses. Like I'm always told, was the best time to buy. For me, I would save up my money and buy kind of two things when I was in primary school, or probably more into year six, year seven, was I had an aquarium and I had fish tanks. It was fishy accessories that I would buy. And then also I used to build my own computers and they had these things called a computer fair and you'd go and you could buy hard drives, motherboards, RAM and all that. Build my own computers and that was a bit of a hobby for me. So there you go, flashbacks to then. Now just some reminders, housekeeping. Financially Fierce is our newest podcast. It's hosted by Jess Brady. It'll help empower you to be more in control of your money and build the financial future you want. Shape your money mindset, learn how to invest, curb your bad spending habits, and become financially fierce. You can listen to that podcast and subscribe wherever you're listening to this. And finally, if you are over age 50 or if you know somebody over age 50, we've got a podcast called Retire Right. We had a bit of a break, but it's up and running again. And if you need to send the Retire Right podcast to your parents or grandparents and you're like, oh, they don't know how to use podcasts, we'll put a link in the podcast. I filmed a YouTube video explaining and showing them how to subscribe to a podcast on their phone through Spotify or Apple. So Retire Right, it's been a great podcast hosted by a professional financial advisor who does retirement planning, Mark McGrath, and his team. So that's all we're talking about in the housekeeping today, financially fierce and retire right. Okay, let's get back into this topic. I want to talk about you now. When it comes to this financial independence, retire early, or amassing money to, I don't know, build your financial future, I think I want to first ask you, where are you now? Are you on a treadmill? Are you in the rat race? Are you stuck in a job that doesn't have a good income? And, you know, I'm at the ceiling, or I don't mind this, but, you know, I can't get more money out of this job. Or conversely, this is a real, real problem. The older you get and the more stuff you've got hanging off your budget, you're stuck in a job that you hate, but it has a really good income and you're kind of trapped there as you can't afford to drop salary and retrain. So where are you now? Life, if you've lived for more than 10 minutes, you know that year on year things can change and work situation can change. You might like your career and then fall out of love with it. If you're commuting into a city every day and you're in the rat race and you're living to work, not working to live, that type of vibe. Like, what do you want to change about your life? And then I want to ask you, what are your current goals? Do you want to buy a house? Do you want to start a family? Do you want to travel work? Do you want to travel more? Or travel, full stop. Is one of your goals to reset your work and your career life and escape what you're in? Is one of your goals somehow how to regain time? So you're like, oh, I'm commuting for 3 hours a day. That's such a big chunk of time. I need to somehow stop this. That is a goal at the moment. Is your goal to have the option to work? And I think that right there is the key. I asked a lot of people anecdotally, like, why do you want to do this FIRE thing? And it was the whole, I don't have to work. I've got the option to work. I want that financial freedom. Now, if you've got a goal that is just to build wealth, well, that's kind of a boring goal, isn't it? I mean, it is for me. Like, how boring? Life's more than shoveling money into an investment account. Because think about this. If you were just, oh, I just want to get to $1 million in my savings account, to do that goal and to lean into it, I reckon it comes at a cost, a really big cost to your life. Could come to a cost to your social life. It could come at a cost to your relationships. It could come at a cost to your quality of life because you're so focused on just working and shoveling money into the investment account. It could come at the cost of your health if you're just working 25/8 and you're not having any recreation. So if that's just your goal, I would challenge you to try and find another goal that isn't just to have a pile of money and to build a portfolio. Now, I get if you're like, oh, we really want to travel more and escape work and do all these qualitative stuff, but it'd be kind of cool to have a portfolio of 800 grand. Like, awesome, but don't just focus on the money. I reckon a lot of the times you focus on all the other stuff in terms of your career, your life, who you spend the time with, maybe the money will take care of itself. You focus on, I'm going to be a good steward, for want of a better word, of the money I receive. I'm going to have a spending plan. I'm going to have a budget. I'm going to, like kind of me, I've got a conscious value-based budget model, and you've got a bit of intention there. I mean, that's where the magic happens in life. And the more that you lean into that type of stuff, I honestly reckon the money takes care of itself. So when we look at some actual numbers, and I kind of want to go through a really loose case study, but I don't love, but I just don't love doing hardcore financial projections because, number one, I no longer have financial planning software where I can do really good detailed projections and scenarios. So what I've done was kind of just, I like to call it bush maths, like let's just get a bit of a direction of which way we're heading, make some broad assumptions, and I'll talk about all this soon. But in terms of the hard numbers with this whole FIRE thing, it started, you know, in the USA, and retirement savings, it's not compulsory for the most part over there. So it is basically just more about accruing as much wealth as you can in your name and use it whenever you want. For example, the FIRE is, they say you've got to get your FIRE number, and they reckon that it would be 25 to 30 times your annual expenses. Now, the thing is, when you read statements like this, it's like, get your FIRE number, do 25 times your annual expenses that you want to live off. Okay, awesome. But is that pre-tax, post-tax? In my world, expenses are post-tax. Are we drawing down and depleting capital, or are we living off income? Now, the two things there, let's use an example. If you had $1 million in a bank account and that bank account didn't earn any interest, right? Literally the worst bank account ever. You're in some, you're in like, I don't know, Greece or Italy during the GFC and they're like, hey, there's no interest bearing, but hey, at least we'll guarantee you won't be able to lose your money. Like, worst bank account ever. So if you had 800 grand, $1 million in that bank account that didn't draw interest, and then you were just drawing your 80 grand or 50 grand a year expenses, well, there's no tax on that because it's not generating. You're just using money from a post-tax environment anyway, because that money that you've got in that non-interest bearing bank account has been taxed, right? So it's out there in the wild, it's been taxed, it's post-tax dollars. And if I'm depleting the capital, there is no income tax. However, we did it the other way. We got that $800 or $1 million, we invested it, and you're living off an 8% return on the $1 million annuity that was just pumping out a guaranteed 80 grand a year. That's treated as income. So you've got to be careful when you're reading this stuff around what your FIRE number is. Number one, are you in pre-tax land or post-tax? Are you depleting capital when you do your drawdown? Because this starts to change the numbers. So what I've kind of, and this is where the nuance starts, and it gets so annoying because it's like, oh, so I, one of my examples I put in the Facebook group, and I kind of did, all right, I'm working the FIRE number at 88 grand of retirement income is what they want. The FIRE number would be 25 times 88, which would be 2.2 mil. The reason I did the straight up income part was because I wanted retirement income of 88 grand equals less tax equals retirement living expenses met. So when I do financial projections, and it really just like annoys me, frustrates the snot out of my face, when all these Instagram influencers put up their things like, oh, if you invested $300 a week or a month for 30 years, you'd have $1 billion in the account. Okay, that's nice. But we've got to take into account inflation, and we've got to take into account year-on-year tax. Because if you've got an investment pot of money growing each year, the dividends that you receive whether you reinvest them or not, they're getting taxed. And this is where we start to stray into the nuanced area and everyone will have a problem with these numbers. And to be honest, I have a problem with these numbers. It's just because it's so hard to work out exactly what projections are over the next 20 years because things can change. So that's why we just need to work out a really good direction, have our spending set up, all that stuff, maybe some type of rule of thumb, which we'll get to make sure you've got as much money as possible when you decide to stop working, be it at age 60 or if you want to fire, you might do that earlier. So what I've done for my scenario, I've tried to make it really easy because I need to read it on the podcast. I've made the assumption that I've got two people, they're 30 years old, they want to retire early or fire at age 50, okay? So 50 years old, retire, age 30, because that's our median age-ish. It's around 31, 32. I've assumed that their income is 120 grand each, because that's the median type income of our listeners, excluding super. And I haven't assumed kids, okay? Because you want to nuke your finances, create some kids, all right? That's the sure way to do it. So I just need to keep this very simple so you can see the concepts and the way that I'm thinking about this. So they've got a 20-year runway to, quote-unquote, retire early. I don't know if they're doing barista fire, meerkat fire, forklift fire, bingo fire, coffee table fire is a new one I've heard these is going to really take off. But what I've done is I've kind of worked out we need to get them first to age 60. And because in America, they don't have super and that tax haven that that is. So you have to use it in Australia. If you're serious about this fire crap, you've still got to use super. And this is the crazy thing in the weeds. Like, do you just punch your portfolio in your own name, get that to a critical mass, then pump super, and then I don't know. It's wild. But what I've done is from age, we need to get them. They're going to work, earn 120. And these are these things, right, with these projections, which is really hard to put into the inputs, is what if someone gets a pay rise, an extra 20 grand a year? All right, well, we've got a choice. We consume that or we invest it. What if someone takes a couple of years off, 6 months off to start a family? I don't, like, it's just so impossible to do really, really good financial projections. And that's why we need our margin of error. And the type of big picture sums that I'm going to talk about, I think will allow for a margin of error. So what I'm doing is I'm assuming that their net income each is 88 grand. And what I'm also assuming is they're going to need 88 grand in per year for expenses as a net income. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to assume that from age 50 to 60, I want them to have 88 grand net income. So I've kind of assumed when they get to age 50 and they want to stop, as a minimum, they want, we'll just call it 80 grand a year, okay? Over the next 20 years, we need to build up enough money so at age 50, they can have money to live off and not access their super. But for this scenario, I'm just really keeping it simple. Let's try and get, and everything we talk about is in today's dollars, let's try and get 800 grand invested in our own name over the next 20 years. So they're 30, they want to fire or retire early at age 50. From age 50 to 60, we just want to draw 80 grand a year to live off. So what I'm assuming is for that 10-year period, I'm going to get them to deplete the capital. And that's a mind F for a lot of people, all right? You want us to deplete our investment capital? But we need the income to live off. All right, well, you can keep the capital, but you're going to need to save more. and cut into your lifestyle now. So may still have this invested over the 10 years, so it could still grow, but we just need a very conservative target. So what I did, I just went into the basic money calculator, like a savings goal calculator, and I just put, I want 800 grand in 20 years time, starting balance zero. Now, what I did for the percentage return rate, I only did 4.5%. Okay. And you might be thinking, why would you do that? Well, remember, I've just been a little bit conservative here. A total return of 8%, less 3% inflation. And I've just like, let's just be careful and maybe assume 0.5% for tax year on year. Okay. So that equals 8 less 3 less 0.5 equals 4.5. Pretty simple. Okay. So what we need based on that, the couple need to put $2,053 per month into an investment that's got a target of 8% a year. It's going to be a high growth portfolio. So back to their annual expenses, to get them to that goal, they're going to need 25 grand a year to carve off. And even if you look at the maths, 25 grand times 20, that's $500,000. Over the next 20 years, there's going to be 300 grand of capital that's generated from the investments. This is where it's really hard in these situations to absolutely nail the strategy because, well, do we just put most of it in a lower income earner if one of them was going to get a pay rise or a bigger pay rise and the other one was staying on 120? Or do we just do a joint account? So that's kind of the first pot of money. So they've got to carve off 25 grand a year out of their net expenses to invest in their own name, which leaves them as a combined couple $176,000 after tax, less 25, we're down to 151 to live off, okay? Now, then we've got to get them from age 60. And this is where I've kind of just used the loose FIRE numbers where they say expenses times 25 or expenses times 30 or expenses times 35. So what I've done just as a bit of a target, because they want a net income of that, around that 80 grand, right? I've just gone, okay, well, let's assume pre-tax an income of 100 grand. Okay, so what I want to do now is look at from age 60 onwards, okay? And part of this is to really show you the power of superannuation and also just to reiterate that superannuation, it's a tax haven. It's so good. And because if we retired at age 60 and we moved to pension phase, well, there's no income tax. So I've actually done just called it 88 grand a year, you know, a little bit extra in retirement. They can live off 80. And then once they get to 60, they can start to live a bit more. You know, I think that was one of those coastal fires or breeze fires. I don't even know. But I've just, to keep it round numbers, I've done $88,000 times 25 because they say with the expenses, you've got to do your expenses times 25 or 30 or 35. So we'll just call it $88,000 times 25 gives us 2.2. So then what I'm going to do in each person's super account, I've just gone back to the calculator and said in 30 years, because we're 30 at the moment, we'll be 60 in 30 years. We want 1.1 each. We've got a starting balance of 30,000, as I said. So in 30 years, investment rate, 4.5% again. That means you need to save per person $1,292. So what that means, each person in their super, they have to put $14,400 into their super fund, all right? However, remember, employee contributions, 11%. They're already getting $11,730 after the 15% contributions tax, right? You've got to remember that. Any money you put as an employee contribution into super, 15% contributions tax. So effectively, there's a hole for each person of $2,670 that they probably should consider salary sacrificing into super. That will get them to the total needed of $14,400 a year per person. Now, these calculations, they don't include investment fees, the tax, I've just done 0.5 to be a bit conservative. So because I've been a bit lazy here and I just wanted some round numbers, we'll just call it $2,670 per person. We'll call that $5,000. What I've done is with the salary sacrifice, because honestly, it gets to the point, there's no point in me doing micro calculations for this. I've just assumed that 25 grand a year net goes into an investment account in their own name to get to that target of $800,000. And then they've got to salary sacrifice $2,600 each. But what I've done is, because that will decrease their net income, I've just assumed a flat $10,000 worth of after-tax wash-up for each person, okay? Might be more, might be less, which that gets us to the net income reduces to $141,000. So, have you lost me? Awesome. I've lost myself too. So, when you look at it, effectively each year, they are investing between super and their own contribution, $35,000, like net wash up. Now, what that basically means is it works out to be their sacrifice. And this is kind of the cheat's guide to if you want to have lots of money. It works out to be about 20% of their net income, right? So if you consider the government's mandated superannuation guarantee of 11% each year is going into super. If you just went, in our financial life, we want to invest 10% of our take-home money, either back in as a salary sacrifice or in our own name, you'll be fine financially. So you can kind of back-engineer it a little bit, which was really funny. Like when I did all this number crunching, it just means from age 60, I want them to have $2.2 million between them in retirement savings. Now, 2.2 times 8% return, far out. That's $176,000 a year, all right? So if they were living off 80, they could probably dial that back a little bit. And I think all that to say is because Australia has such a good superannuation system, for those in their 20s and 30s at the moment, once you get into the workforce and pay attention to your super, in 40 years' time, you're going to have a decent amount of money and you'll have a dignified retirement. It's almost that stopgap measure of if we want to stop work early, well, we need a pot of money in our own name. That's what it all boils down to, right? So I've always kind of said, like, far out, if you just put away 15% of your income, you'd be sweet. So yeah, it kind of worked out in this case. But in this case that if they allocated about 20%, they would be sweet. And the thing is, the retirement portion, based on the numbers, that's not depleting capital, which is living off the earnings, where you've got to get to that mindset of depleting capital to live off before retirement, I think, because it's going to be too much of a lifestyle cut if you want to build a huge amount of money to live off the interest income only. And you might want to do that, knock yourself out. But I'm just saying this could be a way to, to kind of get to have a pot of money sooner, work it out based on depleting the capital, not just living off the dividend or interest income. So let's talk about what I've learned from this scenario. The main win is keeping your expenses low. Now, that's not anything to do with the FIRE community, the whatever community. It's everything to do with to win in life, to win at money. The golden rule is spend less, invest more. That's your ticket to financial freedom, my friends. Keep your expenses as low as possible. Is it hard? Yep. Can it be done? Absolutely. but you've got to work out what type of sacrifices that you want to make. And even me just messing around, you know, with my spreadsheet, and I can't even share it because it just won't make sense to you. But I just wanted to kind of do those numbers to show you that the bigger issue here with this whole FIRE movement, it's actually less about how much money you need to invest. Because if you've got enough time, the amounts that you need are going to be small because of compounding. It is more about, well, we've got a net income between two people of 150 grand. How do we stretch this as much as possible? Can you afford to invest 25 grand a year of that on top of your super? That's only for you to decide. Because remember, we lay in the bed we make for ourselves. And if you are intentional and you want to have as much choice in the future, which might mean you need more money in the future, well, you're going to have to do a sacrifice today. And I'm personally not heaps keen to heavily sacrifice the life that I'm living because I like my work, I like my job, I don't have to escape from anything. What else did we learn? You need to get started ASAP. I mean, it didn't actually take more, even if you remove the pre-age 60 money, it didn't take more from salary sacrifice to actually get those account balances up to over $1 million per person over the next 30 years with very conservative, projections. Like, just get started. It's awesome. And I would say you need a big margin of error to avoid disappointment. I'd rather you say, look, it'd be nice just, I don't know, live off a grand a week, whatever. If we get there, sweet, we can do it. That's better. Getting there going, oh, sweet, we can do 1,200 a week. All that's better than saying, crap, we've only got enough to do 600 a week. So it's really good to do margin of error. And that's why for me, it is more big picture direction and then the strategy and structure right now. So we set that and then we shovel as much money as possible into our investments. Because we know we're going in that direction. We know we've probably got a target of, I don't know, 800 grand in our own name over the next 20 years. Sweet. But look, we just need to be conscious and shovel as much money. You might get a big bonus. You might get to that 800 grand sooner. All right, we'll take the foot off the gas and then start hitting super. So it's all good. I would also say, because I haven't talked about kids, you know, starting a family may nuke your finances. And you look at this perfect storm, a loss of income for a while. Increased expenses forever and a loss of time because you might not have the time to be doing the crap to build your career and your life to generate more money. You might not. All I'm saying is get started with this money stuff sooner and then when you start a family, it might be easier. Hey, if you've already got kids now, awesome. You know what I'm talking about. You've been living with a nuke for multiple years and it's expensive, right? But that's not to say if you have kids now, you can't look at this and really get dialed in and happening, right? So I think I've learned that you really need to use superannuation in Australia. You're actually crazy if you don't have two fire pots happening, I think, anyway. So I would also say from kind of you're working from now until age 60, I would do personally if it was a strategy that I was doing, but I'm not doing this strategy because I don't plan to stop making money from what I'm doing because I'm all good. I'm not from that fire cloth and all that crap. I would 100% be looking at maybe that first fire pot depleting the capital to get you to the super money because it's just going to make it easier to get to that number. But you've got to have that mindset of being okay with depleting the capital. You have to times a million. If you ought to factor in inflation to your calculations, you might need to factor in account keeping fees, even if it's 0.5% overall. You have to factor in tax. You just have to be conservative with this stuff. Don't. So, for example, I want to save. I'm just going to do 800 grand. I'm going to do 800 grand in 20 years time, starting balance zero. So remember when I did 4.5, we have to save basically $2,000 a month. If I was just like, yeah, my share portfolio, guys, it gets 8% a year, and I put 8% in the calculator, oh, it tells me I only have to save $1,300 a month. Dun dun, you're screwed. Nice knowing you. Okay, so an easy way to do this is to look at the target return. I just use 8 because I'm conservative. You might want to use 9 and go to the moon, knock your little socks off, my friends. We got to do 8, less 3, which is 5. I did 0.5 for tax, which might be conservative, gets us the 4.5. You might even just do a straight up 4%. If we did 4, it's not $2,059 or whatever it was. It is $2,174. So be very, very conservative when it comes to these calculations, because you will have a big surprise when you're like, oh, I'm saving $1,200 a month. I'm going to have 800 grand. And then it's like, it's been 20 years, guys. And like, I don't have my 800 grand. What went wrong? So that type of just caution that. So let's look at some FIRE alternatives. Now, I've mentioned before, I use my loot thing. It's like, I'm not messing around with saving heaps of money. I'm not messing around with hating life and struggling and living off rubbish to see my big... I mean, that would just kill me. And again, it goes back to the personality thing. I mean, that would just kill me. I mean, I'm not going to have a big pile of money over in the corner that's growing and all that and have to have Coles flavored ice cream and not buy my connoisseur every now and again. Fun fact, I just brought this up online. They don't even call it ice cream. They call it Coles Simply Vanilla Flavored Frozen Dessert. I cannot see the words ice cream anywhere on. So like, but that's just me. And again, you've got to do you. I'm going to do me. We're going to be friends. So can you do this thing, loot, where you're very strategic about doing life on your own terms? Hey, here's an idea for FIRE. You know, you've stumbled into the FIRE chats and all that, and you're like, oh, I like that idea. Because a lot of it is around lifestyle and minimalism and, you know, being measured and considered. What about you just find your job and just work 3 days a week and retire tomorrow and just live off less? Just do that. How awesome would that be? You could also live a minimalist lifestyle. And I think actually a lot of people are just doing a minimalist lifestyle. But, you know, they've maybe just been sucked up into this FIRE thing and, you know, they're just like, oh, no, we're just minimalists. You could start your own business. I mean, that's what I did, but you've just got to be careful that the business doesn't end up owning you. So questions you need to ask yourself. Are you actually happy with your job or career? Are you happy with your life? What is missing in your life? Are you running from something? Because remember, wherever you go, there you are. What are your actual goals for your life? What do you want it to look like? And I think once you really nail this stuff and these questions, I honestly think all this FIRE stuff and amassing heaps of wealth so you can escape stuff will take care of itself. Don't use money to escape something. Some of you need to hear that. If you don't like what you're doing now, change. Don't use this as an escape. I actually asked a heap of people, what does FIRE mean to you? And I won't read the names because it's on Instagram and they're all weird and I can't read the usernames and why they wanted to do FIRE. Freedom of time, freedom of people's moods and politics, like leadership teams. I mean, you can get that without having heaps of money saved. Not having to go to the same work and ask the same 4 questions for every client for 8 days. Choices. If I don't want to, I don't have to. If I want to, I can. I mean, I do that now and I'm not considered a FIRE zealot. To go back to being a student and study according to my own interest or passion. That's a really good, interesting one, that. That's awesome. But can you drop down, work 3 days a week and just do it tomorrow? having flexibility in life, only work if I want to. I mean, you can do that tomorrow. Working because I want to, and more meaningful work, i.e. volunteering or non-for-profit, that's cool. Oh, there's one here from the Instagram, broke ass fire. To have more time to actually pursue the things we want in life. Yeah, that's a cool one. My challenge is, can you start to pursue them now, today, next year? And that's probably the whole thing as well. It's like the purists and zealots, we're like, fire's not a destination. It's a lifestyle. You wouldn't get it, Glenn. Another one, freedom, choose how we spend our precious time. Another one, work optional, able to spend, able to travel around the world, spend time with family and pursue hobbies. Having choice and control, ability to do what I want when I want. Choice, freedom to pursue things without needing an income attached. Yeah, that's kind of cool. But the thing is, like, if you do stuff, you might be able to turn it into an income if you want. But, you know, you might not want, but that's all good. Having a paid-for house and being able to do whatever, whenever. And that's one thing, and that, if you've seen it on Instagram, the future Aboriginal, that's Lindsay Whitehead from the Facebook group. You've all seen him in there. He's been on the podcast. That's one thing that we actually didn't talk about, and that's housing and accommodation. And really, if it goes back to that, to the golden rule is to have wealth and accrue it faster, you need to either spend less and have a higher income. So there's that bigger, spread in the middle, and not live in Sydney or not live in a capital city. And that's the dance, right? If you've got kids and family, like, and they're established in the inner west of Sydney or the outer ring in Melbourne, and it's like, well, we're kind of screwed. We'll have to do a drastic change. The freedom to choose, freedom with my time supported by passive income, knowing your wants and your needs are covered by the... Yeah, so like a lot of this stuff was around this freedom and choice. Again, I don't textbook subscribe to the whole FIRE thing myself, but I've got those things. I've got freedom and choice. I had to build it. I had to get there, but I really just was doing life on my own terms. So what I asked, in the Facebook group how much their income is, what their expenses are. No, I asked how much their income was, how much they're saving per year, and what their target number is and how many kids they've got. And some of these numbers are wild. So old mate, 450K income, saving 200K a year, 5 million target, no kids. Another one, 350 gross, saving 120K, target of 4 million, no kids. 250K, 40K saving, $2 million target, two kids. 240K, 50 to 55 saving, 1.5 million target, no kids. 250K, saving 25K, two teenagers in private school. 300K, saving 40K, $1 million target. Some big numbers here, and I think that goes to the fact that you do have to get to a critical mass with your life and your career, because it's obviously easier if you're earning 400 grand a year, you're still paying $700 a week rent where your neighbor is probably earning 100 grand a year paying $700. Like, you just get more scale because when it comes to money, more is more. So you've got to get your career to a critical mass. So that's why we did the book, Sort Your Career Out and Make More Money, because that will be the best determination of how much you can start to bank, because there's only so much sacrifice you can have until you start needing more money. Like, there's only so many name brand, not ice cream things that I can buy until it's like, well, I've cut everything possible. We're living on, like, we're literally eating rice for dinner every week. We've sold our cars. Like, there is that tipping point where you do need some meat, I think, in your income to really supercharge But the whole housing thing, gosh. I was going to also, I did get one recording. I put it in the Facebook group. It's funny, my audience here, you guys are just too busy to record audio messages. A guy sent in a thing. Thanks for doing that. He wishes to remain anonymous. I'm not going to play it because it just wasn't the standard way. He bought some properties when he was younger and ta-da, got heaps of money. And yeah, it wasn't heaps relevant, I don't think. And crap audio quality. Don't record this crap in your car. Do it at home or somewhere quiet. Turn your car off. So what would I do? I would have the mindset of just knowing that lifestyle inflation and lifestyle will be the main detractor to you in having money, extra money to invest. That simple. I would try and target and invest 10% of your net income each week above your super contributions. I would actually also ignore all net worth type updates from other people in the FIRE groups online and run your own race, because like some of those numbers that I just read, there were some chunky incomes there, 350, 450, 250, 240, 250, 252. Like this is real money, and it's easy for them to just carve out 50 grand than it is for someone who's earning 120 to carve out 50 grand. And yeah, you don't get a pass on that simple concept. And that's why for me, the answer hasn't been to heavily sacrifice my living expenses or lifestyle costs, because I know my energy to generate a good income would far outweigh that. Now, you can't out-earn bad spending or stupidity, but you can invest more if you've got more. It's pretty simple. I would also focus on the qualitative things. I'd also focus on the qualitative things of your life, not the quantitative. Can't even speak. But look at all the soft stuff. What do you value? What you want your life to look like? If you want work-life balance, don't wait 15 years. Find a job and work part-time or casual 3 days a week. Done. Everyone's going to freaking grill you because you're going against the grain, but it's going to give you the qualitative things, not the quantitative. And I think that's the whole thing. It's like if you hero on the quantitative, it's all hard numbers. It's like, oh, we need 800K. We need it to do this. You've lost sight and you end up burning out trying to get there. So that's all I do in my life. I just focus on the qual stuff. And then as an overarching thing, look today for ways to stop trading your time for money. This will solve a lot of your problems. And that's that whole passive income thing. I think the only really good passive income things, it's when you want to stop trading your time for money, is investing in shares that produce dividends, and you want more dividends or buy more shares, like more is more. Write a book and, I don't know, see if it sells heaps of copies. That's very passive. Do an online course. But some of that will require ongoing admin, and it all comes back down to distribution. Well, that's cute that you've written a book, but who are you going to tell to buy it? Not that really you make lots of money, but yeah, how can you somehow stop trading your time for money? And that's kind of what I do. Like I may sit down here for an hour and a bit and record a podcast, but I will get thousands and thousands of dollars just for the hour that I'm sitting here. Like it's wild. But, you know, we've worked hard, we've built it. And I'm just trying to be real with everyone, right? And I just want to finish on the learnings that I've found from people who are 60 or above that are wanting to retire. So how can we look forward at someone that's retiring where effectively a lot of the time money isn't their problem and you really want to get to the goal when you stop working, you don't have any debt, particularly non-deductible debt. And part of that thing, like back to that building 800 grand That's when the nuance steps in. It's like, well, do we want to just pay extra on our mortgage and then we don't have that expense when we get there? Like, that's the dance, right? So learnings that I've learned from those over 60 years old, both from the comments of people joining the Retirite Facebook group. I often ask them, what's your biggest challenge? And then from when I had clients that were retiring, and just general comments in the Facebook group, these are my four learnings from those. And I think we can learn from these people that are retiring at retirement, quote unquote, age of, you know, after age 60. Number one, they can find it hard to give up work because it's such a habit, it's such a thing. They can find it hard to flick from accumulation to drawdown. So it's like we've spent all this time amassing wealth, building our wealth. We've now got to flick to like, all right, we've got to draw down, we've got to spend it. And that's what I was talking before, the mindset thing. Can you build up a pile of money and deplete the capital? It's hard. When I sold my first business, I had a big chunk of money. I was living off my savings while I built this next podcast business. It's a wild time. It's very hard. It's not impossible. Yeah, so that was kind of number three as well. Like number two, they find it hard to flick from accumulation just to draw down. So it's just like, oh, what? My investment isn't growing as much anymore and all that. And then number three, you know, they find it hard to deplete the capital because that might be required a lot of the time. And it's okay. You're allowed to do it. I would. I'll spend your money. And then the fourth and the major one is they can find it hard to find purpose / something to do / struggle with boredom. So again, it goes back to, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're bored or got nothing to do or no purpose, there's a very small percentage of people that are okay with that. I'm not one of them. You might be, but I'm not. So I've covered a lot of ground. So I'm going to leave now. See ya.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. If you are interested in furthering your education around money, your career or property, we have three books that might help. Check out Sort Your Money Out, Sort Your Career Out and Sort Your Property Out. Find these wherever good books are sold or via the link in the podcast show notes. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Simo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, so when I was doing the intro of this episode, I went on a bit of a tangent, as I do, and I was just thinking about spending stuff, and yeah, I just thought this might be useful, and yeah, we're throwing it here at the very end. So yeah, thanks for listening. Got to be wild, but hey, there you go. Bye. I like money like the rest of you guys, all right? I love it. I'm not going to trip over $10 in the street and, you know, keep walking. I'm going to pick it up. So all that to say, my personality isn't one that needs to optimize every single line item of my life and do all that. I love living. I love experiences. I love my boat, okay? I've spent a lot of money on my boat. That would give a church rat a heart attack, the amount of money I've spent on a boat. Now, if I've, for example, spent 150 grand on my boat, you put that into a calculator, what that could produce over the next, I don't know, 20 years. Yeah, imagine that. Put 150 grand, and I'll just do this live, and it's not really to this example. I'm just going to do ChatGPT. We're doing this live, and I go a bit rogue when I do these episodes by myself, and I've kind of finished the premise, and I just kind of think about stuff. So let's type into ChatGPT, invest $150,000 today. What is the amount of this money invested over the next 20 years, assuming a return of 8% and inflation of 3%. Okay, so let's see what chat says. Now, the reason I just mentioned my boat, because just before I hit record, my friend was like, oh, can you check something that I've left in the boat? I'm like, yeah, I'm going over there today because it's at a storage shed. Yeah, so the amount of money invested over the next 20 years, adjusted for both returns and inflation, would be approximately $397,000, so $400,000. Now, there is no way on the planet that at the moment in my life, I am giving up my boat. So I've got, and this is actually a really good idea, everyone, like when you are thinking about expenditure and things like that, think about the future value of, this is wild, and this is why I just wanted to jump on myself and talk about this stuff, because what happens is I've got notes that I'll prepare this episode and I'll chat and I kind of will have these thought things, and don't worry, I've had my Dexy, so I'm kind of dialed in, but though it's 2 p.m. and I'm swearing off, but I've got these thoughts, right? And it can trigger other thoughts. So let's go with that. As an exercise with any big expenditure, car, a boat, a holiday, a nice pair of jeans, what if you looked at the future value of that expenditure and decided if it was worth it or not? For me, at this time in my life, I friggin' don't care if that boat, future use of that money would be $500,000 or $600,000. It adds so much value to my life, and I honestly, it's staying. But, you know, I've got my dining room table at secondhand because it's just not what I value. So let's just do an example. I'm going to copy and paste what I wrote to ChatGPT. So invest not $150,000, and I also, whatever, I don't care. It's my money. I've worked hard for it, but I may have just told everyone how much I've spent on my boat over the last few years. $2,000. Invest $2,000 today. So the same thing, 20 years, 8% return, 3%, same thing in ChatGPT. So next time you're worrying or thinking about buying that $2,000 lounge or daybed for your veranda, over the, you know, inflation adjusted return over a 20-year period, you're actually spending $5,300 on that. So can you buy a secondhand daybed for your veranda for $500? Now, I'll talk about this inflation and risk-adjusted returns with projections later, but that's an interesting way to look at it. What if you had $2,000 and you're like, yep, we need to buy a daybed for our veranda? And the only reason I say that is I'm looking at my veranda at the moment and it's big and there's lots of room on it. Far out. This is going to be a wild episode, peeps. And again, if you're new, sorry, but the audience loves when I jump on here and just have a chat. The veranda, yeah, I'm just looking at there at the moment. And if you had that $2,000 to spend, what if you did this? What if you're like, okay, we've saved up $2,000 for this goal. We're going to now put $1,500 into our investment account and then buy a $500 secondhand daybed on Marketplace. I just think that's a really cool way to think about future expenses. So bringing it back to my preface and me and my personality, I'm not one to want to sacrifice parts of my lifestyle.